widespread fame. Avadata fully pure. Sayyavrata related to King Priyavrata. Yatra wherein Umana the Supreme Person. Purana the original. Shrita Avatara descended as an incarnation. Purushara the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saha Alaya the original person. Chachara executed. Dharmam religious principles. Yet from which akarma hetum the cause of the end of fruitive activities. Translation and preferred by one of the challenges given to the translation. Oh, what shall I say of the dynasty of Priyavrata, which is pure and very much celebrated. In that dynasty, the Supreme Person, the original personality of Godhead, descended as an incarnation and executed religious principles that could fully perform the results of fruitive activity. Preferred. There are many dynasties in human society wherein the Supreme Lord descends as an incarnation. Lord Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty and Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Vishwakuru or Ravu dynasty. Similarly, Lord Rishabhdev appeared in the dynasty of King Priyavrata. All these dynasties are very famous and of them the dynasty of Priyavrata is most.
Dynasties are very famous. Okay. The Ragu dynasty, Yadu dynasty,
Devavrata dynasty, they are very famous. And of them, the dynasty of Devavrata is most famous. Prabhupada is saying, because Prabhupada is explaining the activities of Rishabhdev, and now, thankfully, circumstances, Prabhupada says it's most famous thing to hear about, because Lord Rishabhdev appeared in this dynasty. And the second part of the purport is, the translation, the text is, the Lord Rishabhdev appeared and executed religious principles that could free one from the results of primitive activity. Means, Lord Rishabhdeva wants to free all the conditioned souls from the results of their respective primitive activities, karma, which is the cause of body. We get body due to the karmic bondage, reactions. If we perform good activities, pious activities, we will be awarded the bhogas, the enjoyment in the heaven on different planets, and vice versa. In contradiction to that, if we perform the bad activities, impious activities, we will be awarded with punishments. And 21 types of hell, different types of hell are there, we will be awarded with the punishment. And akarma. And bhakti is not neither pious activity nor impious activity. So, sakam karma. We don't want sakam karma and we don't want to get indulged in the activities, the reactions, results of sakam karma. And this is one of the purposes of Lord Rishabhdeva, that he came, he incarnated, he came, avatarati, he come down in this material world and he executed religious principles. Just to free all of us, all the conditions of non-productive activities. So in the beginning of the chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely that this chapter, the sixth chapter, explains mostly about how Lord Rishabhdeva left his body. And it also says, you know, it's kind of a flashback. Previous chapter was teachings of Lord Rishabhdeva, and fourth chapter was the characteristics of Rishabhdeva. So here Prabhupada says the Lord was not attached with his body. How? Because even when it was being burned up in a forest fire, there was a forest fire, big forest fire, and which provision that forest fire happened? This, the realm of King Konka, Venka and Kutaka. You know, that in that area when Rishabhdeva went, the provinces of Karnataka, Konka, Venka and Kutaka, you know where we heard this province. In that particular province, the forest, out of sudden there was a big forest fire and the body, transcendental body of Lord Rishabhdeva was burnt there. And Prabhupada says he was not attached, even the body was being burnt. And the seed of primitivity is burned by the fire of knowledge. And Prabhupada compares that forest fire with the fire of knowledge. Jnanagni Dagda Karmana Samahu Kantinam Pura. The Jnanagni, the forest, the fire of Jnana can burn the karma, the fruitive activities, the results of fruitive activities. And here it says a seed, bija. The bija of fruitive activity is also being burned by the fire of knowledge. And the spiritual properties and mystic powers are automatically manifest. This is very important point. The last chapter, the end of last chapter, Shukdev Goswami says, even though Lord Rishabhdeva was having access to all types of mystic powers, he didn't care a bit for all those mystic powers. And in this sixth chapter, the first question, the only question, the Rajo Vacha, Na Nuna Bhagavan Atma Raman, you know, in that, Parikshit Maharaj says, why then did Rishabhdeva neglect them, the mystic powers? The mystic powers will not shake the determination of a pure devotee who is situated in the pure of the Lord. The mystic powers can entertain the sadhaka coming from Mayavada school, yogi, the Hatha Yoga school, but the sadhaka coming from devotional service, who is getting perfection from the Bhakti Yoga, to that candidate, the mystic powers cannot entertain, they cannot allure him. That was the logic and question of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, that he said, I'll read for you, my dear Lord, for those who are completely pure in heart, Pashyat Maharaj saying, asking question to Shukadeva Goswami. Knowledge is attained by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, and attachment for fruitive activity is completely burned to ashes. So he is explaining the glory of devotional service. This is the glory of devotional service. If somebody is following the path of devotion, the pure devotion, the attachment for fruitive activity is burned. What to think of the seed of fruitive activity, which was there before getting into the devotional service, before getting into practicing Hare Krishna Mantra. The seed was there. That's why we are here. We are in the cycle of birth and death due to the seed, the feature, fruitive activities. So this is a very important point made by Parikshit Maharaj, that the knowledge attained by practice of Bhakti Yoga, which is very particular, you can attain knowledge, so many methods are there to attain knowledge. But through Bhakti Yoga, knowledge to attain, that is very special knowledge. Because it is a burden to attachment for fruitive activity. You know. For such people, the powers of mystic yoga automatically arise, they do not cause distress. Why did the Rishabdeva neglect them? That was the main question in the beginning of this chapter. Why Rishabdeva, you know, it's like, you know, if you are having sense control, then why you hear it preach? Sometimes you will say, I cannot. But if you are doing good distribution, then there is no problem. If you are doing something else, then there is a problem. If simply you are showing the book, if you are thinking about book, then there is no problem. Thinking, feeling, willing. The problem starts from thinking. If we think something, then we will feel the previous experience. And then we will will for that. So if we will not think of the problem, then we will not get into the problem. Once I got the, I went into the Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj. And I told him that Maharaj, I have a problem. Then he convinced me that problem is not existing. Show me where is the problem. Then he convinced me that the problem is not existing. He convinced me that there is no problem at all. So there is no need of solution. No problem, no solution. Sometimes we feel that this is my problem, this is a big problem I have. This is a behavioral problem, this devotee is not understanding me. Then Maharaj tells me, where is the problem? Everything is in the air, nothing is there on the ground. It's everything in your mind. You think, you assume, this is your assumption. Then I was convinced, yes, then I didn't ask him what is the solution. Because there was no problem. He convinced me that you don't have a problem. I know Maharaj is dissonant. He said, no, there is no dissonant, there is no problem. So, this was the kind of subtle question of Parikshit Maharaj. If Rishabdeva is practicing pure devotional service, then why he will bother the mystic powers? Why neglect them? So, the purport is very nice. Srila Prabhupada said that a devotee does not have to exhibit such magical wonders. Devotee need not to exhibit such magical wonders. Without practicing the mystic yogic process, he achieves even greater opulence all over the world. Under the circumstances, Lord Rishabdeva refused to manifest mystic yogic perfections. And Maharaj Parikshit asked why he did not accept them, since for a devotee they are not at all disturbing. A devotee is never distressed or satisfied by material opulence. His concern is how to please the Lord. This point is very important, that devotee never get affected by material opulence and starving. You know, if he is starving, he don't get affected, and if he has so much material opulence, he don't get affected. Devotee is glorified, akinchana priya, you know. Krishna loves akinchana, nishkinchana. That is the position of devotee. Sometimes it is said that if Krishna wants to bless somebody, he will take everything.
will take all his opponents. So devotee is not disturbed by, even if he is awarded with mystic powers, and if you don't have mystic powers, nothing bothers him. What is the concern of devotee? The devotee's only concern is to please the Lord for their pleasure. This is the slogan of devotee. And this is the seven substance. Why we perform devotional service? We want to put a smile on Krishna's face. If in our whole life, once we will put a smile on Krishna's face, our life is success, a grand success, a big success. That's for that only we are doing all this sadhana, all this seva. So this is, we have to understand the beginning of the chapter, the question of Parikshit Maharaj, why Lord Vasudeva didn't care for mystic powers. Because the devotee, the pure devotee, came to exhibit pure devotional service. And also he came to show what price we have to give to achieve pure devotional service. What is the price? What is the cost? You see, what is the cost? He exhibited such a tapasya. You know, we cannot imagine, we cannot dream of. So tapasya exhibited. And for what? Not to become one with the Brahma Jyoti. Not to become one with the Brahma Jyoti. Now, in present time, you know, in BKC, in Bhaktivinoda Thakura right there, now also, so many Mayavada followers, you know, practitioners, they exhibit such a tapasya. We cannot dream, now also in India, they are exhibiting such a tapasya, they are undergoing such penances, voluntarily. We cannot imagine, we cannot dream of, you know. But klesho vikarastesham, avyakta sakta chetasam, avyakta ahikatit dukham dehivadviravakas. They underwent so much klesh. But what they get, it's not according to the devotee. What devotee gets? You know, Prabhupada said that without practicing the mystic yogic process, a devotee achieves even greater opulence all over the world. He gets Krishna. And it said in the Shastra, Krishna don't award devotional service very easily. There is a test. We are in examination 24/7. 7 days, 24 hours. There is a taste. It's not very easy. Even to get a big skyscraper building in Juhu, to get a big building, we have to work like a donkey, you know. We have to get so much headache. So much tapasya one has to underwent. So, to get the visa in, permanent visa in spiritual world, to travel there without any barricade, without any, you know, changing visas from this planet to that planet, this universe to that universe, like Narad Muni, he's a spaceman, Prabhupada says, in first canto, Narad Muni, his past previous life is explained there, and how he achieved the lotus feet of Krishna, how he achieved pure devotional service, that everything is, the episode is everything is mentioned there. Prabhupada, in one of the purports, says Narad Muni is a spaceman, nobody can stop him from traveling. So to get that type of designation, what one has to do? So much sincerity, so much. Narad Muni says, in my previous life, when my mother died, when I was just 5 years, I was just 5 years old, I was child, and I started walking. I started walking in the direction of northern direction, and so many forests came on the way, and very interesting point, Prabhupada putting emphasis. So many big cities also came. Now you see, we have in Mumbai, it's a big city in the world. The top 10 cities in the world. So many big cities came on the way, Narada going in northern direction. And he was not allured. But the ordinary devotee, or sorry, ordinary people can be a little bit allured. They get allured with this glittering material manifestation of Maya. It speaks really. They get lost in this glittering. So devotee, without practicing mystic yoga, he achieves greater affluence all over the world because he gets Krishna. So taste is there. And what is the taste? Tamal Krishna Maharaj was putting emphasis on this point. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving example of the taste. He is admitting, he is saying, Krishna, oh Krishna, I don't want dhan, I don't want money. Please don't give me money. I don't want any kind of money, opulence. I don't want followers, janam. I don't want men to follow me. I don't want to become a big leader. And I don't want sundari. I don't want women. He says, and Tamal Krishna said, this is the test. One has to pass this test. We cannot get the degree being failed in the test. That is the common, this is a good example. It's a very plain example. If you want MBBS, you have to go through. If you want permanent visa, in whichever planet you like, Vaikuntha, Krishnaloka, Mayapur, wherever, in the spiritual world, if you want permanent visa, you have to go through the test. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained there are three items, three big questions you have to face. Dhanam, Dhanam, Sundari. And there is no such provision. There is a grace passing. Grace passing is there. I was in attending National Festival in 2005, Pune. Krishna Javadaka Swami Maharaj was saying, Prabhupada was walking the stairs and he said, you have to chant 64 rounds. Devotee said, we can't. He said, 32. Devotee said, you cannot. Then he said 16 final. So this is grace pass. Minimum 16 rounds. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Abhiram Prabhu. He says, you have to make sure that they are chanting minimum 16 full rounds. So this is the special blessing of Srila Prabhupada. You see. But we cannot get out of this material world. You know, Sachinandan Maharaj said once, nobody can get out alive from this material world. Everybody has to die. Means what? We will not get out with this material body. We have to give up this material body here. Means we have to give up matter. We have to give up material senses. We have to give up material sense gratification. Otherwise, we can never get out of this material world. This is the test. And Tamal Krishna said, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in advance he said to the Lord, I don't want this Dhana Jana Sundari, and what I want? Bhaktir Ahayatuni Tui Janma Janmanta. By birth after birth, I just want your devotional service. That is my desire. So this is a test. And without passing this test, there is, you know, we cannot get out of this material world. So, to pass this test, the first step, which is the first step, Shraddha. Shraddha. So I was in the, you know, the Tamal Krishna said that if you have Shraddha, then there is a very interesting comment he made. In whom you have to put your Shraddha? In whom? Our parents, mother, father, brother, wife, children, political leaders, government, in whom we have to put up. Our past friend, from childhood, we have past friends also, in whom we have put Shraddha. He said, first we must know in whom we should not put our faith. We should not put faith in ourselves. Because we were in ignorance. We were in ignorance and our choice was wrong. Our decision was wrong. What was the decision? To stay without Krishna. What was the choice? To enjoy without Krishna. And why that happened? Due to ignorance, not having the right knowledge, not taking right decision, not having right choice. That's why we must not put faith in ourselves. And how to, and then he explained that we must not put faith in ourselves means now we are mine. We are not so. At least myself. Mostly conditional level, conditional entities, they are minds. They are not souls. They don't act like soul. They act like mind. Whatever comes in the mind, they act. They are directed by the mind. The mind is the boss. So we should not put faith in ourselves because we are followed by mind. Followed by Guru's order or controlled by mind. We are controlled by mind. Most of the condition, I am talking about condition. The conditional living entities are talking about, not about the devotees. The conditional entities, the jivas, they are mostly controlled by mind, almost. So Maharaj says that don't put faith in yourself because whatever you will decide will be wrong. Whatever you will choose will be wrong. So first we must know that in whom we should not put the faith. Then we turn. That then, yes, okay, I should not put faith in myself because I am incomplete, I am not controlled. And due to my foolishness, I am rotting in this material world, birth after birth, and I don't have any problem. Yes, okay. That is the biggest tragedy. That we don't have a desire to get the desire to get out of this material world. That's why Krishna says in the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga, Mam Ichchaptum Dhananjaya, he says, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena, Mam Ichchaptum Dhananjaya. He clearly explains there. Even you don't have desire to get me, Krishna knows that his separated parts and parcels, they don't want to go back to Krishna. Krishna knows very well that conditional living entities, they don't want to go back to Godhead. That's why he instructs in 12th chapter, Mam Ichchaptum Dhananjaya, Abhyasa Yoga. By the practice of devotional service, by sadhana, develop the desire to get that desire in which you want to go back home. So this is the condition of living entities. This is a pity condition. That they don't want to go back home. They don't know their problems. What are the main problems? Janma mrityu jaravati. These are the main problems. And we are in sukhala. We can never be happy in this material world. The analogy is a very simple analogy. Fish can never be happy on the ground. So, if you want to make him happy, you have to put him in water. So, living entity, you give him anything, he will never get happiness. Vimukta mayana, he will feel, he will assume, oh, I am happy, oh, I am happy. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I am happy, oh, I am happy. Yeah, I have water, oh, I am happy. Oh, I am happy. I have good, very happy. My kids are there, very super kids. They are engineers, these doctors, I am very happy. I am flying in helicopter plane, I am happy. What is this big business? I am happy. No! We cannot become happy here. This is a big tragedy, we don't want to understand that. The conditional living entity don't want to understand these problems. That's why I said that I went to influence Bhakti Vilas Swami Maharaj and he said me that problem you are having, that is not a problem. So we are misguided. The conditional living entities are misguided. They are tricked by Maya. they are thinking that this is my problem, but actually that is not his problem. He is thinking that this is my solution, that is his problem. Means he is taking solution given by Maya, you know, which is itself a problem. And the solution Krishna giving, he thinks that this is a big problem. I cannot make it. Four rules, I cannot make it. Daily chanting section rounds, I cannot make it. It's very difficult to surrender. Come on, I can never surrender to anybody. So these are things, the test we have to pass, we must pass, there is no alternative. Yesterday, you know, I had, 2 days before I heard, yesterday Devkinandan Prabhu was giving class and he made a very heavy point. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to Krishna. If you want to get back to Krishna consciousness, or you want to get to Krishna back, there is no shortcut. We cannot make shortcuts. Vishimoshi thinks he cannot make it. So, coming back to the point, the faith, we have to put our faith not in ourselves, not in our mind. We have to put faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And I will give a best example of this. In Prabhupada's time, this is the, I heard it from Yasuda Tamalakshmi Swami, who was GBC there. And he said, in USA, at that time, GBC decided, they had consulted with the lawyers, that, and lawyers advised, better you should have one umbrella corporation for temples in USA. And they gave the proposal to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yeah, it is not bad, but we will have independent units, not one umbrella corporation. Again, they get back to the lawyer, and lawyer convinced them, we will have one umbrella, that will be very easy to manage. They again came back to Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada says, the royal is very clever and rascal, he wants to control us by having one umbrella corporation. Then Tamalakrishna said that Prabhupada was very adamant on his opinion. And then he said, whatever his decision, that we will not have one umbrella corporation in USA for all the temples. We will have independent units, separate centers. Then Tamalakrishna said, next day there were two letters from those two GBC members. One letter said, herewith I resign from GBC. And another letter was, I am fool, I am rascal, I cannot understand why Prabhupada is so adamant, why Prabhupada is not accepting our law. I am rascal, I am fool, I am mad. Then the Mahārāja said, first letter, he left the moment. He left Hare Krishna moment. And second letter, he stayed. So, this is very difficult job to always get abide with the order of the Guru. We must take 100% faith in the words of spiritual master, Sadhu and Shastra. This is the only qualification we can pass the test of Maya. That is Dhanam Dhanam Sundari. Otherwise, there is no hope. We must have full and final faith into the lotus feet of spiritual master, Shastra and Sadhu. And you see, this Lord Rishabhdeva, his first teaching is very famous. Prabhupada gave many times. Prabhupada quote that first verse, Nayam Devo Dere Vajam Vilote Kastan Kaman Arhate Pujabe Tapo Dinja Putra Kayan Sattva Shuddhe Dasma Dhamma Sattva Pratanta. So this Dhamma Sukha, he said, you see, the audience is his own sense. King Rishabhdev, his Lord Rishabhdev, he is addressing his own sense. He is not addressing it to the Praja, people in general. He is not addressing to the ministers, management. He is addressing his own sense. So, Father is addressing his own sense. He will address the best. He he has. What the best advice Rishabdeva giving to his sons? That my dear sons, don't anchor for stool-like material happiness, which is available for all living entities in all spaces of life. Just get attracted towards Brahma-Sukha, Brahma-Sukha, Sattva-Sukha. You know, we hear that even pure devotees don't want to get indulged on Brahma-Rasa, Sayujya-Mukti. So the Goswami said, that is Pichaji. Sayujya-Mukti, he said, we don't want that kind of liberation. We having union with the effulgence of Krishna's body, transcendental light, Brahma-Jyoti. Our aim is more higher. Very high. So you see that Brahma Sukha is compared to the drop, you know, the happiness derived by pure devotional service. When it is compared with Brahma Sukha is like a drop. But now Rishabdeva says, don't go for sense enjoyment. You know, it's nothing in front of one drop of Brahma. So if we don't hold the right intelligence, definitely we are going to make a loss. I was changing temples. Then Guru Maharaj just said to me, stop this harassment. So even it's like, you can take it as a business. What we have given? We have given whatever we have. We have given our mother, father, all our relatives. We have given everything. All our lives we are trying to surrender. When we are doing everything like this, so we must be very cautious. We must not go for shortcuts in this direction business. We must follow the process, and that process is exhibited by pure devotees. Six Goswamis in Vrindavan and Sri Prabhupada in Shiva Sangam. When disciples of Sri Prabhupada went and they showed the photo of Sri Prabhupada, and that Brahmana, he said, oh, I know this person, he was crying. He was standing in the temple for hours and hours, he was crying. So that is the process of crying. And there is the best weapon against the allurements of Maya, which is that feeling separation from the Vaishnavas. If we are feeling acute separation from the Vaishnavas, then at that hour of thinking of that Vaishnava, in that moment of feeling separation from that Vaishnava, you will never get touched by Maya, part of Maya. When they are crying for departed Vaishnava, oh, Anila Vaishnava Thakur, you know like that. And there is a meaning, oh Vaishnava Thakur, there is one. Virajan is beloved. The first line I don't remember. Krishna Prem, you brought Krishna Prem on our Goloka, and you are feeling separation. The tears coming from the eyes, that is the ointment in the eyes, Premanjana. That is the Premanjana. Suppose some devotee is crying for a Vaishnava in such a session, Maya will think, oh, that is not my place. So that is the best weapon we have to get protected. Krishna says in the 11th canto that if you are my devotee, you are not my devotee. If you are a devotee of my devotee, you are my devotee. Acharyama Mijanya. So if we want to feel separation from Krishna, first we must feel separation from Vaishnava. And there is only possibility to pass the test of these three items is association of devotees. That's all, first of all. If we get association of devotees, we are very fortunate and we are well protected. What is that association? Standing in Mangalarti with the devotees, taking prasadam with the devotees, chanting with the devotees, sitting in the class with the devotees, and staying in the same place where you did the same. It's very simple. But this apartment is not given to everybody. How many people are in India? 100 crores. And how many are given the entry pass to stay in this one room? Very few. One in 1 crore. One candidate in 1 crore. They have 100 crore, right now? One, we have 100 duties here. One duty is coming from 100 crore Indians. So special is the devotee of the Lord. How many brahmacharis in India? 1/4, 100 lakhs. And in world, you will become very special. So if we are getting association of such super people, highly elevated people, very rare in the world, then think how fortunate we are. So this is the qualification one has to come to get association of devotees, and we have to give value to the association of devotees. Samarki Kumara said, you have wife, big zero. Children, big zero. Bank balance, big zero. Factory, big zero. Mother, father, 110. Everything is 110. But if you have one Krishna, that Krishna is at one, and all the zeros become crores, billion, billion. If we don't have Krishna, then whatever we have, that is zero. So we have to think that we have to get the association of this wonderful Vaishnava. And we will get purified to these Vaishnavas. Once in National Festival, I recall, Mr. Radha Mohan Sarma came there and he said, and in USA, the atmosphere is, you see, anybody can easily get bewildered. Such atmosphere is there on beach. Look at you. Very easily bewildered. I'm not repeating exactly the words of Maharaj. But in India, such a holy India. You see, our devotees from foreign, they say, oh, I'm going in holy India, ancient India, spiritual capital of the world. But when we think, I'm born Indian, and what's going on in my mind? When we think. So, Mr. Sadagun Maharaj said that we should strive to become Bharat Bhumi de Janam Valiyar Janam Sartakari Karpar Hoga. In this chapter, Prabhupada gave that. Prabhupada has quoted that line. Previous slokas, Prabhupada quoted that line. That in India, being Indian, we have the great responsibility to practice the devotional service of Krishna consciousness and present ourselves as a model, a good model of Krishna consciousness. So that others will get inspired. So this is very important chapter, and in this text especially the dynasty of King Devaraj is being glorified. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Krishna, no demigod will be there. and you will not get pizza. If you have the desire, mental desire, there are three tests, as I said. 100% purification. There is no other way. Even if you have a trespass, that trespass is not given to hear, Tom, Harry, nobody. Any ordinary person will not get trespass. Devotees, the bhakti lata coming from so many previous lives. So who is getting trespass? He has not given it for free. He has already paid the payment.
One more thing can I ask you?
Yeah. We can meet personally later. We can talk personally later.
Yeah.
Anybody, another other, any question? Different question. Okay.
I understand that in this theory, there are a lot of needs to enter into another body, for a higher creation. Suppose a mystic devotee enters the body of a pure devotee, will he become a pure devotee?
You see, pure devotee is always protected. Pure, you cannot enter in the mind of pure devotee. This is the Krishna. Krishna house. Even Brahmastra came to kill Parikshit Maharaj, but Krishna spread around the embryo. Even that fiery weapon cannot touch the pure devotee who is in embryo. So this small mystic yogi cannot touch the body. You see, it's magic. Nisko, now you can see. The pure devotee is, you know, I will not take the name, he is a guru. You see, he is giving lectures again. It's magic. It's not an ordinary thing, it's magic itself. It's the hidden exhibition of mystic power. So pure devotee is always protected. You know, it's not that anybody can enter, a ghost can enter in his body or mystic yogi can enter. No. Pure devotee is the boss. He himself has mystic powers rolling on the ground in front of him. As you know, in Rishabh Deva. That was the question in the 6th chapter by King Parikshit. Why Rishabh Deva didn't care about mystic siddhis, powers? Because Prabhupada says, devotee don't want to show mystic powers. Rishabh Deva, even though he was having access to the mystic powers, he didn't care. He was the highest test, pure devotion. The pure devotee is always protected. He can convert millions and millions and millions of mystic yogis into pure devotion, but one small third class mystic yogi cannot get into the body of pure devotion. Shri Prabhupada ki.